Okay, going into old business, we've got on the list, I'm not sure if we go in these orders, water rights, BLM permits, Scudamore Road update, lawsuit and budget.
Can I put the budget on last because I know that may be the lengthiest.
Water rights, what updates are we?
Dale, have you brought some information as far as the water rights, the engineer's reports and so forth?
Let's go ahead and go into your presentation questions. Let's discuss what that covers.
And I've got one other thing to advance that he told me about. Did you get that up?
It's right here.
Okay.
On the water right?
On the water.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please eat those cupcakes.
I have a whole house full of them. Oh, and everybody's assignment.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want a napkin, too?
Did you want
one?
No, thanks. I'm driving.
There are two pages. This letter contains two pages.
I just made it after the board members.
So if each of you take a copy, page one and two.
Yep.
You guys read the email from Vance about the.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll discuss that. Send you better. Especially concerning with the address.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah. I address this to John and the board. Since the last board meeting, I've continued to review the water rights owned by Deer Springs Ranch. There are about 75 past and present water rights and water right applications at the ranch. I feel that much more work needs to be done to finalize the permanent master water plan for the ranch and its members. Just an overview is that I purchased 29 water rights from the Finley family in 1971. A summary of these water rights are attached, and I did not attach these exhibits to everybody's payments. Here's the summary of the 29 water rights. John, these probably should be typed and put into a plan, but question as to whether I have the time or the expense to, you know, do these. So some of them are in rough draft form.
I could see that section be done. I could put that down.
Then March of 76, I submitted 8 applications to appropriate additional water rights for Deer Springs Ranch with 24 points of diversion. See Exhibit B attached. This is one of the ones that Vance Green has challenged or questioned. On that letter, when the lot, which number 1234 was approved, the state engineer is concerned whether there is sufficient water in the source to satisfy all the applications which have been filed to appropriate water, and also the impact that these filings may have upon the rights of the stream. Therefore, he believes that it is prudent to approve one application and observe the development under it before approving subsequent filings for this applicant. Our date, priority date of 1976, is still on those applications. And about a month ago, the state sent out questionnaire and information on all of these water rights and asked if we were still interested in pursuing them. And you asked me to answer that letter to the state engineer, which I did, and indicated that we certainly wanted to keep them as active as we could and continue to pursue them. So letter,
address.
Those are entered here as Exhibit B on that particular item. Then, under approved application 1234, I filed a new application, number 46088, to segregate, or this is to divide that approved water right. We had filed and got approval for 1 second foot of water, which is 450 gallons a minute. And the state approved that. Then we took that, because we had no money to drill wells and things, and segregated that into 12 spring areas. And so there's a list of the springs and how we filed on them at that time. So that's a part of Exhibit C. My rights must be put to beneficial use and proof submitted by a licensed engineer for certification in a timely manner. The following water rights are now certified, and it lists there the 8 different water rights that are certified to Deer Springs Ranch. Do you have a question? And information is available on all those. Potential water rights needing immediate attention is 1259 Meadow Springs. I thought this was approved, and I have letters from the Attorney General's office indicating that that was going to be approved, but the state engineer's office can find no record of it. So I think that must be followed up immediately to try and find it. It'd be one of our best water rights on the entire
range.
This is
range. One that we've talked about in previous last couple of meetings.
Yes.
Close out of the wet meadow above.
Yes, it is very, very critical. Leaf Spring is another one above Broad Hollow that we've planned on. We did a lot of work. We did the proof. I don't know why it was not finalized. And these, John, are some things that you can't do a 50-year plan by changing leadership every 12 months.
Yeah.
And what happened to the paperwork, how it was followed through or not followed through. There's some things I see definitely was my fault in not having the money back in those days to do some of the proof items that were necessary. So I'm pleased that we got done as much as we did, but there's others I wish. And Leaf Spring is one of those that a lot of work was done on it, but it has never been proved up on. The next are the 7 applications that we filed in 1976 that are still unapproved, and the state asked, are we still interested in them? And I emphatically answered that we are. There are about 20 other water right applications you may want to encourage or discourage. Most of the water right files are available at my office, but others must be found. The files need many hours of work, and I feel a master plan must be written to safeguard and utilize these valuable assets. On December 20, I sent a letter to the state engineer regarding the water right applications attached here as E.
That was the one that you said you want to continue with.
Yeah, that's one that we want to continue with.
The Division of Water Rights, if there's a water right that's been an application that hasn't been approved or hasn't been involved, whatever, they've sent to everybody in the whole state. I've got a number of them. You've got dozens of them, because I think that if you don't speak up now, it'll be a few years from now, they'll say, I don't care. We sent letters to everybody in 2008, and if we didn't hear from you, we closed the file and burned it, and we don't know what you're talking about. So I think that now is a critical time to have a chance to revitalize these.
Okay. Now, I got a question. As far as these unapproved well applications, is that one of the ones that Vance Green is concerned with?
Yes. It's the 1241.
Yes.
Did he have them?
Yes.
That's what he was talking about on his land.
This should involve, I spent probably 100 hours. And another 100 hours needs to be spent. take 10 minutes in a board meeting and discuss it very much in detail is kind of foolish.
Yeah.
The one of the serious areas that I find, and Larry Bear's here, and maybe I find no paperwork on the new well and the approval to use it as a public well. I find nothing. No, that's the...
The wellhead protection?
That's
you
the
have
wellhead.
A copy of this?
Yeah, and that's the preliminary. That had to happen first. Now, what happened after that...
This is what our engineer prepared for us and sent to the
yeah.
state, but the state still is not showing...
And that has false information in it that's a joke. All that money was spent, and that gives us the right to serve 8 families and 7 horses total. Now, if we've gone to all that expense and stuff to have a certified well that will serve 8 cabins and 7 horses, something was wrong. Where's the certification paperwork on it? Who has it? I know that the board has done anything. For 90 days, I've been hammering. We need to find the paperwork on this plus a lot of other things relative to the ranch. And I see nobody doing very much to do that. In addition to this, there's another group of water rights that I've been working on, and here's another group of water rights that I've been working on. These files are mostly things that I had over the years. But the one of the questions I have is, what does the board want to do about, let me just read this list to you. And I don't know, Dan Holt has filed. Is Dan Holt one of our members?
Yes. Is he?
No, Danny Holt, yeah. Yes.
He is a member?
Yeah, he's he bought the people, I don't know who the people owned before. They own that, they had that, they lived in Las Vegas, an older couple, right next to Larry's. Just south of, just barely south of the lawn.
Oh, they bought Lake's property.
Right, that, okay, that's it, yeah.
Bought Lanny Lake's property.
Yeah, that's the Holt. That's Danny Holt.
No,
okay.
Well.
They have a good well.
They have a great well, yeah.
They have an excellent well.
In the well field.
Right.
Down on the lower.
Right.
Most of these I see no problem at all. John Martin, as well as one out of 25 filings, I think he's one of the only ones that's certified.
Mine's certified.
Okay, I hope so. It doesn't show up in the state
well,
record.
I was over there every summer. I've been going over there. They've told me, well, we're far behind that we just haven't caught up everything. And then they said...
That's why.
And then one thing they told me that makes me kind of worried, because I filed on the first lot I bought.
You have 4 filings.
I don't think so anymore, not the way they were talking. What they said now, we're not, so I got a letter about 3 years later. Well, we just shelved this one on the second lot because you've already got one active application in on the first lot. And they said, we've decided we're not going to let two, because people are trying to get water rights, and then they, as soon as they get them, they sell them and they file for some more. And they're trying to make money on it. So we've decided we're not going to let one person have 2 different filings at the same time. Yeah. And so I went over.
You can get 2 different lots.
Last fall.
That's ridiculous.
And met with them. I found that you find a lot more when you go there. Write a letter doesn't mean anything too much. Well, when I went over with our water rights years ago when I was on the board, man, they just ran around in circles. And we finally got some stuff done, and that's when we got the well that we've got now started. But it took, what, 3 or 4 years after I got off the board before that was finished. But so they told me, well, we got this other one shelved because we haven't got this first one approved. I said, well, what's got to be done to approve it? And we complied with everything.
And the engineers still don't send in a lot of the paperwork that they've got to finish approving it. So you're hanging out there. The last time they said, oh, you've got enough water to water everything you've got, what you want to water. And they still won't give you a definite answer on things. I got the same letter on this just a few months ago. I've got to go back over and...
Well, it's very aggravating, very complicated, very expensive.
And very expensive. Because
and it is serious business. So hopefully everybody will understand that. John Martin's well has been certified. The next one is Nathan Millay. Nathan Millay, it says, is certified. I don't think Nathan Millay has drilled any well next to the old mobile homes that's sitting there on lot 10.
In Podunk?
Yeah. So whatever that is.
It says his is
Larry T. Moore.
No, he's not drilled.
Larry T. Moore has a filing on here. Larry's been in prison for 10 years. Kenneth, well, it was filed on the old Hitson Myers place. Kenneth Hawkins is no longer around. Betty Nuttall. There's Clarkson Investment for four, and those were canceled or moved to other locations due to Dan Wirt and his smart protest. Dan Wirt has a filing, but it has lapsed. Bear Trust has a filing.
Not mine.
Another...
Filing but not certified?
What?
Bear was filing but not certified.
It does not show in here that it's certified. Mm-hmm. And here's a Walters.
Larry Walters
has made two filings, sold his land.
Sold his property.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's following through. What... The reason we're doing this is not to irritate anybody, but to show that there needs to be a master plan. It needs to be thought through. It needs to be respected by the state engineer, and it needs to have dictatorial support by the board of directors. This idea of everybody irritating by calling the state engineer, writing 10 letters back and forth to get some explanation is not healthy. And we've had a lot of people file on water rights that all I've done is aggravate. Here's Phil Hall. He has a good well. Larry Walter filing. Another Larry Bear filing. Brent Fulmer, I don't know who that is, but he has a filing.
And a legal extension on mine.
And Vance Green has a filing. Fred Searles. Don and Shauna Cox, Benny
and Jordan.
Jordan, what?
What does it say on ours?
Doesn't. It's just an existing. Well, it says Benny has an existing well. He'll be happy to hear that.
Well, we don't. Wait, doesn't produce any water yet.
So, then here's some of these are independent filings out where they are, and they fine. Let them file, do whatever they can. If they prove up on it, great. But here's a couple that concern, I think, you. We have Leaf Spring. We've got the water right from Lynn Finley. We've done a lot of work on it. We've proved up. We've planted. We've done different things. Now we have some people, individual members.
Filing on
filed
spring,
on Leaf
on
Spring.
On association property.
Yeah.
Let me say this in the interest of time. A couple of questions. One, what you propose as far as a committee we can put together, we still have not really delegated out some committees, and whoever's going to work on water rights that can meet with Dale and put in some hours outside of this meeting to really digest through and understand where it is. In general, though, if members want to improve a well or something on their property under the rights of their half-acre foot water right that they deserve from the association and then later transfer. I'm not sure that anyone has ever done that successfully since the ranch began. Or if they want to drill their own well or they have water potential on their property and file directly with the state for a new appropriation because that drainage in the pre-river drainage is still open for appropriation, I think it's fine. I think we've got to protect vigorously the neighboring ranchers or even our own members filing or developing or stuff on associated ground without the board even being aware of it or some program to benefit the
I know about the Leaf Spring thing. That was brought in front of the board. In fact, Larry was the president. And the application was, the request was made by Joe McElroy, Larry Murphy, and Marvin Jody Akers to apply. They were said, yeah, go ahead and get started. And they made applications on Leaf Spring. And the state engineer, and I went over there on a completely unrelated matter and was asking about it. And he said, well, you've got livestock units that are definitely assigned to Deer Springs Ranch that no one can take away, or that like Deer Springs Ranch has. But there was a filing, in fact, I think it was your filing, on Leaf Spring for 20 families at
that
one point.
That was when the 12 spring applications
right,
were
and that was
over.
And that was, I think you applied in 1976 or something like
yeah.
that. Anyway, and the filing on that lapsed in 93, and so this is where this whole confusion comes in, is that when that filing lapsed, that's when, it's years after that, but that's where McElroy, Murphy, and Akers said, well, what we'd like to do is develop Leaf Spring, leaving the 50 livestock units or whatever, I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, and then we're going to each apply for X number, you know, what we're allotted, which is 1.73 acre feet.
1.73,
right. Yeah. Anyway, so they all applied based on that, and then they came back to the board, I'd have to go through the minutes and all that, to talk about running a pipeline across Association ground over, well, they farmed it right now. I mean, they plowed it in. But running it along the side of the hillside and then across that big flat area and then onto the Broad Hollow Road and then go through the Akers property and up to Murphy and over to McElroy's as a water system thing. So
that's where the board dropped the board and dropped the ball and should have these rights. We need to maintain our rights and we need to improve on our rights. So, you know, that's unfortunate that it lapsed and someone took advantage of it. But I don't know, the other issue as far as running into cross association property and,
And that's what I think as a whole, the only, we have the lower water system that so applies to Ranch House and lower that we're still trying to get perfected. It's not there. We've got the upper cabin water system and the podunk system that at least is supplying and flowing water to a number of lots and stuff. But most of those have still been done either under the original development or the podunk lot owners got together and did some stuff. The board of DSROA has never functioned in water right management development or whatever, and I'm not sure that we ever can. I do agree that half these applications you're talking about don't even own a lot at Deer Springs anymore. And so the next time I go in and talk to the state engineer and they say, oh, you're one of those Deer Springs people that you're going to take a bunch of my time, you don't have a clue what the crap you're doing, and after you waste 3 years of my time, you're probably going to sell and disappear anyway. And that's the point that we're at. So when Vance Green talked about in his email goodwill with the state, the best thing we can do is try to work in some master plan and encourage. We can't demand, but encourage. If any Deer Springs lot owner wants their 1.373 water right or anything, come to us and maybe there is because I know right now there's been three different surveyors and engineers at Deer Springs trying to understand the topography and where to drill and so that they could help to document and prove up. We might as well
have a water master
basically and try to work with one engineering firm that starts to build a knowledge of it and work with Dale in trying to get what's been done in the past and put together and perfect those systems.
I would like to work with Dale on that, with getting these water rights. Because I think we could learn a lot from Dell.
Well,
we need to have those records. I
need to see Father Sean.
I've been here forever.
Let me just want you another question because I think to quiet it for this meeting and then move forward that way. But the in the Vance Green email, just for when I read it, and you know, and you had a question, the Vance Green email is referring to water rights that were filed by Deer Springs Ranch P.O. Box C. Canabu. That's a private corporation. That's not Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. So if Deer Springs Ranch had a claim on that and later that property was sold to Vance Green, some of that needs to be worked out between Vance Green and Deer Springs Ranch. We as the owner association are not Deer Springs Ranch. Deer Springs Ranch was the development company. We did not assume all of, we got some of the water rights, but we, they still have rights. If Dale as Deer Springs Ranch wanted to transfer that, it, probably not going to drill it on Vance Green's lot, but to apply to transfer a well permit to a different lot he owns or something, that's...
As a transfer.
Right. I'm not sure that Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association writing a letter and withdrawing our application is proper. That's not our application to withdraw.
Right, it's not our... It's not
so, I just so that Vance understands that, you know, nobody's intending to infringe on his rights in his lot, or...
1976, none of the lots exist.
Exactly. So it was not an intentional thing or anything that way.
Right.
At the same time, I don't think that withdrawing that application from DSROA means anything or may get us in, you know, overstepping our bounds. I don't think it creates any goodwill with the state. The best thing is if whoever could call the state and say, hey, anything that comes from the Deer Springs Ranch family anymore will come through and we'll make sure it's kind of standardized and we'll put together an application and you're going to be able to communicate back through a water master or develop. Dale as a water developer, if he's willing to play that role with working with the board so that, again, I know that Larry Bear and I know Larry Walters and I know some of these people have put endless hours trying to learn the system, being frustrated that have moved out of the area. I mean, most people that are working from out of state do not understand Utah state water rights and water law, and we might as well save them time, headache, and money by helping them systematize it.
Wow. I had the engineers come out, like the state requires. It cost you a small fortune, almost as much to drill a well. But, and they dragged their feet. But then I had the guys from the state water department come out and walk over my place because they were saying this and that and the other. And they could see that I wasn't planning, that I was planning to use the water and it was for a beneficial, you know, and what I was doing. So they did do one thing for me. It cost me another $75, but they changed it on the one application from cattle and, you know, how they had it broke down to all for irrigation for my gardens. But they could see that I had, that I was doing the work, and the work was being done. And that's what then, and so when I went in this last time, one of the guys saw me that came out, and he come over and said, oh, yeah, we was out there to his place and this and this and this, and it made a big difference.
Well, their big fear is there's people like Larry Bear that actually put their money where their mouth is and do it, and there's people that are just speculators that, you know, I think they've had some trouble. I'm not sure at Deer Springs, but other areas I know where people filed and just sold it. And there's people like Larry Walters who fully intended on doing what Larry Bear did. However, you know, his job transfer took him to the East Coast, and then he ended up disowning his property, and he intended to, but most of us don't get where we intend to and not knowing the process. We go in hoping with these big dreams. We have no idea what kind of a monster we're taking on.
Deer Springs Ranch has a webmaster for the web services that we do. We have a ranch manager for the ranch manager, the things that need to be done. We need a water master that every member can go through, and that water master deal with and know what it's all about and deal with that situation.
Yes.
Well, I just want to turn this over, let Vance Green has made some kind of an arrangement to monitor all the Deer Springs filings in the state engineer's office. That's his first paragraph, that he has made some kind of an arrangement. May want to appoint him as the coordinator for the ranch water rights.
Will he take that responsibility?
I don't know. He's already taken it, according to his letter.
Well,
I don't think that's necessarily true. Hold on a minute. This is something any of you can do from the state engineer's website under their notices category. You can sign up to be emailed about any activity under any water right that you enter into there, and the list can be as long as you want. And that's what I did. Anybody can do it.
Vance, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think for Vance to sign up as a concerned property owner to know what other people are doing that may affect where, you know, you go on your lot and cut trees, I'm never going to see it. But water rights, you may go drill a well and it may affect me. For him to do that as a concerned water owner and landowner is one thing, is a complete separate issue from whether he is able and willing to be the ranch water developer.
Somebody, if ranch water developer, you know, in quotes, whoever that turns out to be, whether it's one person or multiple people, I think one of them really needs to be somebody with an engineer's stamp. You know? We had to do it for the certified water system.
Oh, I agree. Well, but that's something that we would usually hire or have an engineer that then, stamps in our work.
We can all feed him all the information that we have, you know, and a lot of us have a lot of different information. Dale has paper records that the state does not seem to have. Somebody needs to integrate all this stuff. We're all operating in little, all little worlds, and it's not helping.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. Yeah. If we have Dale do the job as a water master, and then I would be willing as a board member to help him do that, to spend the time with him to, so that I am being informed of what's happening.
Board member or water master.
Well, and then we've still, as a board, got to break up and have committees that are going to have to meet in between these meetings. And whoever's on that committee, it may be a hired consultant, it may be a board member for sure that's the liaison back to the board, and maybe 3 to 20 members. Whoever's concerned can then attend that meeting and has a passion in that area and work on it, and then report back at this meeting to say, here's what we found, here's the direction we would like to go.
East of town, we had a board, water board. So we have the water board that just deals with that, then you have your water board meeting.
Well,
you could develop that, but we have to have somebody with the know-how
now. Let's set up a committee, and the committee could research and find an engineer they want to work with, or, you know, get the records.
We can get the engineer, yeah.
And, we need to set up a committee. And like I said, we need to work.
Well, I think some of
work outside of this
right.
monthly meeting. And so when those who are interested need to commit to being available, and either, you know, obviously phone call and emails obviously are a good way to keep in touch and to work on things. Be ready to dedicate some hours. Obviously, Dale's put in hundreds of hours on this project.
Plus,
and,
we need
be able to commit to that kind of.
Once that happens, we need to inform the members what that process is.
Well, exactly.
Right.
As soon
yeah.
as
yeah.
they
would
get,
go
to,
they have been informed. I remember a meeting that, and they were supposed to, before they even think about grabbing water up the ranch, were supposed to come to the board and say,
that's
hey,
right.
hey
had,
yeah.
we had to get permission
the,
from
yeah,
the board to
right.
do it before, and we got paperwork to take to the
people are just.
But
you know,
I think that message needs to be repeated.
But yeah, we've got to, it
because
obviously has
we consequently have new people coming in,
is there
people
something
going
we
out.
Set up in the water office that says if somebody calls you, direct them right back to us, don't deal with them.
Well,
we
I think somebody building a relationship, and honestly, you know, just
yeah.
in the interest of time, there's nobody on the face of the earth that's going to do it other than Dale. Nobody has the background to work through this. We're talking about potential assets of the ranch that either we're going to lose or we're going to perfect in the next year or two that only Dale knows about and can go in there and present a case to say this is what we tried to do and everything, because if we show that we'd had due diligence and stuff, we may be able to save some of these.
I'm in agreement with you, Ben,
and
I think we can press forward.
I think to do that and have Dale, you build a relationship so that you know the 4 or 5 people that work there in the office, and as he starts to work more, to let them know, hey, if anybody calls, save yourself some time, send them back to the Deer Springs Water Committee, and the Water Committee can keep, you know, some minutes and help formulate other applications, at the same time move forward with development of the association of rights as a whole, so that we can get our ponds full of water, so we can irrigate some of these pastures, we can do the things, and then assist individual lottos are on the site. So my own question is, how much help do you, I mean, what's the easiest way? Because I know sometimes you definitely need help, but too much help then dilutes the effort and stymies it from going anywhere.
I don't know how to address that, Ben. that may come out a little bit more in the last item on your agenda. In my mind, I've had different solutions and scenarios that would bring this about. Some of these things have got to be put on a dollar and cent basis. One water company that we formed years ago kept doing it on a shoestring, a penny ante, freebie, and I was shocked the other day when I got the letter and said any requests are $1,500. And that kind of separates the men from the boys real fast.
Right.
And I think Deer Springs is going to arrive at a time when they've got to put things on a paying basis, and they've got to say, you know, and I just asked this question. If we've got $100,000 worth of water rights or $5 million worth of water rights, what does the board want to do about it?
Well,
say, we're broke and we can't do anything? That's what we've said for years and years and years. Oh, we're broke. We can't do anything. The state engineer and the water laws do not respect that kind of logic. So I think you as a board have got to come to the party and come to modernize and say, hey, somebody, whether it's engineers or whether it's attorneys or whether, you know, I started to go to the best water attorney that I've used in southern Utah and have him do these things. I have bids in the box here from a couple of other engineering firms for $100,000 to help us on water rights. Does it have any value to Deer Springs, and how and when? It is not a simple thing, and with the checks that I've written out and the things that we've done on the water rights and the water facilities, you know, the cat work and stuff we've been doing, needs to be addressed by the board, because when we started, we were talking about a win-win situation. And a win-win situation isn't all giving on one part and receiving on the other. So I think you've got to get very serious on this, and maybe that will come out a little bit more in that last item on your agenda.
The question was, do you need help? Yeah, I mean, I think we want to go forward, don't we?
I agree. We don't have any money. We're broke, but we must do something. But we have a huge gap between, you know what Vance Green suggests. We have an engineer on retainer, you know, on the committee and active involved. And, you know, like Larry Bear says, it's as much to maintain those every year as to go through. I mean, we're talking those that have done stuff up there have put tens of thousands. And the amount of water rights we're talking about, we're talking $100,000 a year budget just to maintain these. Somehow we got to find a way to bring those together.
Well, one of the things that's clear probably to most of the members and the feelings of most of the members is you do have to maintain a separation between development water needs and member water needs. And if the ranch currently has a water system that's providing the needs, they need to protect those. And if they want to develop further, they need to pay the money to develop those out of expenditures of the ranch or out of our association fees. Short of that, the work, for instance, that you're doing out at the ranch, Dale, is going to be greatly appreciated, especially if it's going to provide additional standing waters or water resources for, say, for instance, the farming that they're doing out there or whatever. But we would expect as members then that that farming profits would be used to support the water development. We can't keep going to the association fees for this, for instance, because as we found, the association fees are sufficient to do what we need to do, and they seem to be empty at the end of the year. Any future development should be with proving that there is a resource that's going to pay for it, and that our responsibility, protecting our own water rights and developing a committee that would invest the time, as Shauna has suggested, and working with you to get the paperwork together is a very good idea. It's just that there needs to be that clear separation between what needs to fund itself and what the association needs to fund.
We have a little problem with that, Dave, just a little bit, because we didn't have the money to give to the Johnsons to do the development. So there is no refund. There is no money coming back off of that. That's not a source of revenue to us yet. We're working. So that's in a future thing that I see that could possibly be that we could get revenue from. But at this point, right now, we have a need now. Those water things need to be taken care of. So my question to Dell is, how much do you think we need to budget to be putting into our budget for, say, the next year? I think there's a few things that we can draw from, because as I went through the budget, I see we did some that were never used. Some that we have no cattle. We've eliminated all those costs, so there's no feed costs, all those things at this instant. So for during this year, those are monies that should be appropriated to water development, or which is our number one thing. I mean,
what is the number one thing
we can't survive with water.
Protect our current rights. And what do we do to protect our current rights?
Well, but current rights, Dave's saying that there should be a separation between these rights and these rights. That these rights are under our annual assessment to be used by the members to pump the well. There are other water rights that are kind of speculative or may generate money or something. I don't know what with that thought. Do you keep, Shauna, the things that are necessary under the DSROA budget, and you farm out these others or lease them or turn them over to somebody to perfect them and use them, and then charge people hookup fees I don't have it all clear, but if you want this group over here to be self-funding, then there has to be some
water
freedom
board or something.
Yeah, to do that. Right. And this over here is a part of the consistent annual fee that is needed.
That's fat.
Instead of having this group speculate over here to spend $100,000 to do something that may or may not, because they don't have the $100,000 to begin with.
Hey, can I jump in here for a second?
Yes, go ahead, Ben.
Let's find the middle road here. Dale, how much trouble would it be to, obviously the association water rights have priority, okay? Individual water rights, yes, they need to be looked at, but they're not association water rights. They don't serve cabins and association property. Let's prioritize the water rights. Let's, in order of ones that need to be addressed, and 89-14-96, the ranch well, the new one that you're lacking documentation on, obviously that's got priority and we should go down from there through association water rights first before we take off on tangents on members' water rights. Do you think that would work?
Yeah, that's headed in the right direction. And, again, we may defer this because of time to that bottom.
No, and that's why I bring this up. I'm suggesting that I'm not saying it's no work to prioritize, but it's not a huge $100,000 project either to get a list of association water rights and the priority that they need to be addressed and looked at and the T's crossed and the I's dotted.
Good suggestion, Vance. I think that's going in the right direction.
Well, I think we've considered and discussed Dale's letter. If you think there's something that will more fully address it, I think we need to move on. And again, this meeting has got to be, and it's tough, but this meeting is a decision meeting, not a discussion meeting. If we want to discuss it, should have happened before now. When we get here, we got to pull the trigger on a few things. We're talking about the same thing year after year, or month after month. I agree. Okay, let's move on real quick, and we'll hope to cover that. BLM permits was put on here as meaning BLM grazing.
Grazing permits and also the easement right-of-way permits. And
okay.
As far as right-of-way permits, I'm
you're checking in
checking
that?
Into that.
Okay, I have put in the request on the BLM grazing permits for some clarification, and I have not received anything yet, just to find out. When I met with them and got these maps, I will get more maps so that you can have one and Dale can have one.
I mean, I'll probably get six or seven more. I asked for five, and he gave me two. So while they're there, I'll try to get that put together. Scoot 'n Paw Road update. There was some stuff circulated, Linda, that you had come up with.
The county's maintaining the roads now.
They're plowing.
They're doing much more than we even thought. So I think that we're set. However, I think my encouragement, again, I met with the BLM, I met with the county commissioners. I hope the county commissioners are doing the right thing. I told them then, personally as an individual, I strongly disagree with some of what they're doing. I don't know if people, and if they didn't, we should even post on the website. There was a letter to the editor signed by the head of the monument and Harry Barber, the head of the Kanawha field office, to the county commissioners in the Wednesday paper, explaining their position a little more factual and showing the county commissioners have taken the judge's interpretation and for personal reasons or political reasons or whatever, and they're using that as an excuse to we're not touching any roads, which I don't think is responsible to me as a taxpayer. I think that as an association, those should read that and be familiar with the facts that they stated, but also we continue to encourage the county commissioners. I don't care if it's with the road grader or with the backhoe or whatever. We're paying for roads to be maintained. The county is being paid tens of thousands of dollars from the state still to maintain roads. The BLM's asking them, please maintain the roads. You know, and they're saying, well, we still can't because we haven't been authorized. Maybe their philosophy and their, trying to leverage things will turn out good in the end, but I still question how much money it's going to cost us to put all these roads back together after they haven't been maintained properly. Even now, I mean, they're taking the snow off, but the moisture is melting into that dirt, and this spring, those gravel roads are going to come apart like a driving over a pancake. So, anyway, if anybody has that, and I was going to bring it, Vance has posted that other letter. That letter, the editor, should be posted on the website for all members to see and kind of keep up to date and know from the horse's mouth of the BLM side of it.
The bad part is the other counties are not taking the same position. The other counties are continuing as normal.
Right.
And so our county has no support from the other counties with their position that they've taken.
I think they're just looking at it as a way to save some money.
I don't think so at all.
No.
I think it's political.
It's political. There's that's what Mark Havishaw said. We're this far into it.
Right.
We're going to draw a hard line. We're not going to do a dang thing. And the more the citizens rebel and get upset, we hope that instead of writing letters, their hope is instead of us writing letters to the county commissioner and hammering them, that we'll write letters to the BLM and to that those of you that are paying dues to the Sierra Club will stop paying your dues to the Sierra Club and the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, the three organizations that are in this lawsuit. That's, again, where the BLM said, we're not even a party to this lawsuit. This was a lawsuit between three environmental groups and the county.
Right.
We have no decision making power on it. We don't agree or are even happy with what the judge said.
Right.
And even the wilderness groups have called and said, wow,
that's not what we meant.
We didn't mean that. We didn't want the judge
exactly
to say this. The judge said it, and the county is being a little bit pouty and saying, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum and blame it on these guys. That's my opinion.
At least they're taking care of it.
But people should read that article because it was
the county is working
clear
to resolve the issue completely. That's where their motivation.
That is to resolve it completely
once and for all.
Which is
forever.
The exact same thing they've been in for 10 years.
Yeah.
And 10 years from now, we'll still be wanting to solve it once and for all, instead of saying I'll take a 95% resolution instead of saying I'm going to fold my arms and I'm not doing anything until I'm 100% winner.
Hey Ben,
that's the yes.
Yeah, don't you agree that letter was basically giving the county about as detailed a roadmap as possible to a resolution?
It was. And I know that the when I went and met with the BLM, the director of the BLM over the entire state of Utah, I'm not sure exactly who that is.
I can't remember her name either.
Had already written, after the judge's ruling back in May, sometime in the summer, wrote a letter to the county and said,
right, yeah, this is not the first
time. Please go ahead and continue to maintain things. We will still try to work through this. If you will still maintain roads, don't stop maintaining roads. That's only going to make the problem worse. And like they said, and it's outlined in that letter, they have already offered them, Title V granted easements on top of the RS-247 doesn't diminish their claim under RS-2477 and they're in perpetuity, not for 30 year or anything that would be revoked, for, but forever. And so why the county is not taking that, I'm trusting that they understand. I mean, I know they've spent a lot more time than we have, so I'm trying not to second guess them, but I'm also afraid that instead of spending a couple of tens or $100,000 maintaining these roads for a year, we're going to be looking, I'm looking at, I've been across roads since the snowstorms, it's going to take millions of dollars of taxpayer money to put these roads back together once we get permission to.
Well, I'll put the article and the letter on the website. I just need to ask the people at the Sun if it's okay to, you know, I don't want to stomp on any copyright issues.
Right, right.
But I'll yeah, I agree. People should know that something is, it's not just sitting there, nothing's happening.
Fair use.
Yeah.
Okay, then the next item is the lawsuit update. Now, I spoke with the lawyer the other day. Answered questions for the interrogatories and the requests for admissions and requests of facts and so forth, and they're still, you know, putting stuff together as if it's going to go to court. And they had to respond to the complainant, I guess, and but we'll be still hearing more on that. It's still in the works.
Well, there's always fun, long drawn out processes with month to month with almost nothing. So
now, this does, you know, bring up some issues. Okay, and the issues are, what happens when something like this occurs? How do we prepare? How do we document our side of things? And what I'm finding is that there wasn't a lot done to document. I mean, people remember things and those parties that were out there. But we need to be more proactive. You know, like you get in a car accident with your car, what do? You got to take the proper information down. If you can take pictures, take pictures. But get your statements down, you know, where it was, when it happened, parties involved, you know, types of damages. And so these are things that when it comes to a lawsuit, well, where did it happen? Who was there? Were there any witnesses? you know, they wanted to know exactly on the property, you know, what kind of signage did you have? These are issues that come up that we need to have as part of our standard operating procedures manual. What do we do in case of an accident? What do we do in case, you know,
someone
gets
like
hurt?
That.
We want them to seek medical attention then,
yeah, but
not 2 days
so,
later.
So what you're saying is we need to fill out an accident report. If somebody comes in, they need to go to headquarters if something happens so that we have something documented.
There is that document there, and I have the original copy, and I'll make copies of it. And starting to put this operation procedure, you know, handbook together. It's just going to be divided into sections. You know, what happens if something like this happens.
Well, and I think learning from this, and again, Brayton's, I think, are very sensitive and conscious of this kind of thing, that if this had happened now, you know, we would have his camera and photographs and documents and stuff put together. So
yeah, it's like, you know, whose livestock was it? Where were they? And were they free roaming? Were they not free roaming? Were they, you know, these are issues. Like, you know, when we're going to have this petting zoo, but it's not really going to be a petting zoo. It's going to be a virtual petting zoo. Oh, there are some chickens.
Okay, can I have signs on my goat pen? Not right now because we've moved them and there hasn't been anyone there. But before I had signs on the goat pen, I have it on the chicken pen. It says, don't even open the gate. If you want to go in and see the goats, go see management. That's okay, right?
Right.
And it's okay for me to take. I take the kids in and teach them how to milk the goats. They love it. I let them stand and watch one of the goats be born last year, and they got to see a baby
awesome.
Born, and they just
but
think
we,
it's.
Well,
but is that kind of thing
those
okay?
Those are things we need to really be careful
I think
of.
It is, but it's a thing right now in our annual inventory while you're taking pictures to have a picture of that sign so that even if an incident happens this summer, you can say, look, here's a photograph taken in January of 2009. This incident happened in June of 2009. This has been posted, you know, and so if somebody violates our rules, we can't, right, it time dates it. And so once a year to go through and anything that's a safety issue, and if there's areas that should have that sign that don't, then we need to, you know,
we have a sign, you know, at your own risk, basically.
I like the way it's worded now. Just stay out, and or if you have a need,
I don't like anybody messing with
you. Know, then talk to management.
Yeah. I mean, we had kids last year,
feed them boys
chasing the chickens, and Jeremy said, "Hey, don't chase the chickens because some of them can get over and they'll get out." He said, "Don't chase the chickens," and he said, "Well, why not? Well, because they don't lay as well." Well, that's not a chicken; it's a rooster. I'm going to chase it if I want to.
I told him to grab the rooster.
No, I didn't. Okay. Well, anyway, so as you know, these are things that we need to, as a board, consider and stay on top of.
I think that the one thing that would be good, as brains get organized and get things set up, is once we get going this year in April or May, is to have somebody. We probably have a member or somebody to come and do kind of a somewhat of a safety audit. Somebody that's trained in. Either an insurance adjuster, and people that understand this and know what to look for to walk through. And if there's red flags that say, wow, you've got an open pit over here with no barrier, whatever, either fill the pit or fence it or sign it. I mean, there's probably our top 10 or 15. Here's the thing. No matter what happens, our next accident won't be one of the things we fixed anyway, but we will have documentation on a case like this. Every year we have somebody come and try to. It shows due diligence on our part. We're trying to keep things safe. Now, if you ride your livestock and you get thrown off your horse, we're doing it just shows to the court and any interested knowledge of part, we're doing what we can to minimize this. We can't stop all risks. You can drive through on the county road and wreck your car. That doesn't mean it's not that's our fault.
And if you take your horse into a field where there's other animals, you would think that that's taking a risk.
Well, that's the question of free range. Every animal is free range. It's how big of a pen is it in? Is it in a 1,000-acre or a 10-acre? But if you still open the gate and go in there, it doesn't mean it's a free range animal. It's just it's not tethered.
Some horses can't handle cows.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So should they have a form out there then, like with the first aid kit or something?
Well, I have a form, and I'm putting it all together, an operation.
We need to make sure that we got documentation. If it's not documented, it wasn't done, okay? And that's, you know, same. It's good in the nursing field. It's good in any other field, too. You know, you got to document it, okay?
Okay. So we're moving on then to the budget. Let me ask then, as we're handing these out, is this the last thing you were talking on the budget?
No.
No. Discussion on proposal. I guess I'm a little, I think the last item on there is what are you going to do with Clarkson Properties, Inc.?
It's not on this one, but it's on
the one that was emailed out. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And that's part of my curiosity is to that relationship and whether that has any relationship to the budget. I almost feel like that the budget that you're going to be working on is your budget, and it has probably nothing. I don't know that there's anything in there to cover costs on the things that we've been doing. I don't know, John, whether...
You're absolutely right, Dale.
I'm curious.
No room, that's the problem.
Whether there's a fairness, and I don't say this offensively, but in all of our lives, if you get something, you usually are honest to pay for it. Or if you that there's a win-win, and thus far I have only seen
one way.
Us giving, and sometimes a thank you and sometimes not that. And so I don't know where you're headed, whether there's anticipation that not you personally, but the association, if they get something, are they willing to see that is paid for some way?
Well, and that's where other board members speak up.
That's
in going through a budget. I don't want to go through a budget unless I know. We've talked the last 3 months of different track records of Clarkson Properties doing from everything in total management to concessionaire to helping out with a little water rights. Until I know what we're doing, I don't know how to put together a budget because we, no matter what,
right.
whether we're paying Dale to do it, or we're at least paying the contractors that Dale is overseeing, or something, that's got to be done and decided before the budget. So I don't want to go spend an hour going through this and then not go through whatever your next proposal. We voted for you to bring a proposal or a written contract of some kind or something to go over. I think that we should go over that before we go over this.
Yeah, because that's something we have not seen yet.
Let me just hand this out very quickly then.
Okay.
Along that line, and it isn't going to change your budget, I don't think, one iota. But here's kind of our attitude. This says, because I like to get rid of the frustration, and there's no easy way of doing it. We presented you a plan that we thought would work to help Deer Springs Ranch and the association pull out of the slump that it has been in, and we're willing to take the tremendous risk financially, physically, and emotionally to follow through on our PowerPoint presentation. We have learned that the Board of Directors is not unified in support of our proposal at this time. Therefore, we have concentrated thus far on only two areas, A, brush mowing, soil conditioning, planting of about 400 acres, B, research, organization, and updating water rights and improvement of the water facilities on the ranch. Much more work and further expense is needed to complete the requirement. We will wait for instructions and support from the Board of Directors of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. We kind of struck out, did some things. Some of you may know what we've done or not, but I think that the ball is kind of in your camp now to say, where do we go? Ponds are fine, but until we get ditches built and head gates and some of these things, they really aren't very functional. Are you wanting me to go ahead and do that totally at my expense, or is there some way of considering this?
Okay, Dale, can I ask a general question? This top one, brush mowing, soil conditioning, and planting of about 400 acres, have you incurred any expense in any of those?
Well, it depends. I would say yes. I've met with those people several times. I've been up there, driven, that kind of thing. I offered when they were out of seed. I said, I think it's important enough for the ranch. If need be, I will finance some additional seed. The weather came in, so I did not. I think it's important that, and I think this is in the next letter that I'm going to, it is in the next letter. We'll kind of qualify that by giving a report as to what has happened. I've asked Johnson's for a full report, time and material and stuff that's gone in. The same thing is true with the Caterpillar work. The board needs to know those things, so I think there needs to be a reporting system as to how it's done. So when I first brought up the reseeding, I thought it was not going to be accepted, but it was, and I think we're all delighted with what has happened. I do have some involvement in it.
Okay, the only other side of that question, is there any expected return on that investment on your behalf, on the behalf of the developer or the association? I
don't know that it can be separated out individually and to say
that I
have no interest or no expectations.
Thank you.
I think there needs to be a win-win. And I think that somebody needs to quarterback that organization.
There's just 10 copies.
To get things done. And this partially may answer you. Let's read this letter and then come back to your question on it.
Who didn't get one.
John. He's got one.
No.
Nana.
Can I have Nancy's? Nancy. Or Linda. Linda, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Linda.
Dustin, why don't you read that letter to us, would you please?
Sure. Dear John and members of the Board of Directors, I have enjoyed working at Deer Springs Ranch since we have returned from South America in late summer, laying out and encouraging the receding of a lot of acreage that has been unproductive over the past few years. It felt like old times working with Clark Lamb, cleaning, enlarging, and repairing the water reservoirs and considering the potential of the property from an agricultural standpoint. I've also spent approximately 100 hours searching through the files on water rights, evaluating them, comparing them with the state of Utah's records, and preparing a summary of existing water rights and their potential. To show good faith, I have donated many box springs and mattresses, linen, a solar system furniture, as well as financial support to leadership and management. I have put approximately $100,000 worth of improvements and leadership into this project during the last few years. More recently, I have spent thousands of dollars and countless hours for the benefit of the ranch. I am pleased to consider the option of building with some desired improvements. I have no interest or time to be involved as concessionaire, as defined by some, for the building of McDonald's in the Wet Meadow. During the past 3 months, I have been given serious thought and consideration to several different improvements that would be desirable for the Deer Springs Ranch. I have submitted my evaluation and suggestions to the board and a few members. I appreciate the time and consideration the Board of Directors has given to the suggestions, and I felt the support of most of the board members as I move forward to implement some of the necessary changes. It is still unclear at the present time as to how the board members want to proceed on the management, scheduling, budgeting, personnel, and many other factors. A management company could perhaps work through this difficult assignment internally. I'm aware of the board's reluctance to contract with a concessionaire at this present time. I find that covering all the areas in the PowerPoint presentation is proving to be too big a bite of the elephant. Some items are attached for your consideration.
And this was just a suggestion, some way of leasing the land and the water and utilizing it in some way.
You want me to continue on that?
Okay.
Proposed land and water lease agreement between Clarkson Properties and Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association for 2,000 acres of property titled to Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, with the exception of acreage now in use for cabins, fish ponds, corrals, airstrips, etc. Lease to also include water rights, to have and hold said property and water rights to manage, improve, and sublease. Duration of lease is 10 years, beginning January 1st, 2009, through December 31st, 2019. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Board of Directors or Clarkson Properties may cancel this lease by giving a 60-day notice. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association to pay property taxes annually. Improvements to be paid by Clarkson Properties Incorporated with the guarantee that Clarkson Properties, will be made whole in the event Deer Springs Ranch Association elects to cancel the lease early. Clarkson Properties, Inc. shall give Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association a report on or before July 31st of each year. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association shall give Clarkson Properties, Inc. an acceptance and evaluation report on or before August 31st of each year. Clarkson Properties, Inc. is to be named as an additional insured on the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association insurance policy.
I think that's what we've aimed for to begin with, to have somebody do that management, because we cannot keep up with all these details. 10 years is a lot of money to invest. I mean, 10 years to get your money back is a short period of time, really, for the money that's got to be put into this thing.
Let me interject just one thing here. Now, I've made a paradigm shift in my thinking in the last year. A lot of it had to do with some of the stuff that went on last year at the same time. And I am I've thrown my support behind some managed and moderate changes at Deer Springs, and I'm still in favor of those things, by all means. But as a property owner whose two sides of his property abuts association land, I have a direct interest in a lease of the association land. And because at that point in time, as a member, I have no control, voice or whatever, on what happens on that association property that is adjacent to mine. There's 20 acres directly north, there's 20 acres directly to the east, and then there's a kitty corner 20 acres. I would not be at all pleased if that area down there was developed as a motocross park, for example. That would be, just for me, great sniper training because I'd sit on my hill and anybody riding around and around. I didn't build a house in a remote location, and I'm just using this as an example, to have a bunch of two-cycle motorcycles running around in a circle just down below my property. Some people might really like that idea, you know, these motorheads or whatever. I would find that to be extremely annoying. I'm not going to say it's a bad idea. I'm not going to say it's a good idea. I, myself personally, and it's just as me, would like to see a master plan of development and what was planned before it's necessarily turned over. And simply stated, I'm one vote, one voice, but I also don't. And once again, I'm making extremes here. I hate to see the Walmart with its parking lot lights on all night down from my house. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that is a point of consideration. Now, the other reason I came to the meeting today, other than the fact that I just love seeing you people, is that I don't think Dale should continue to put out money where we're not willing to reimburse in some way, shape, or form. I came here today to propose to you guys that I don't know how much you spend already, Dale, in relation to the dirt work and whatever else. I'm valuing your time at minimum wage, your personal time. So, you know, $500 for the work on the water rights. But I myself personally would be in favor of so somebody isn't working for nothing. I would be in favor of a special assessment as a lot owner to help pay for that dirt work, which is valuable and extremely important to DSROA. But my concern, once again, is being adjacent to association property, I have a serious concern as to what could be done with that. And there, another reason is and I still haven't got it, and I would like something from the board. I put my well in my easement, and I did that with the approval of the board at the recommendation of Alma Fletcher, who drilled my well. He says this would be the best place to put it. Before the well was drilled, I went to the board, which was Phil Hall, Tater Button, Willis, and I can't remember who else. I asked for approval to do that. They gave me approval to do that, and so my well went in my easement. And with the understanding that there was nothing going to be on the other side there, be developed because, there wasn't going to be something that could contaminate my well. And that's another thing that I have a concern about now.
Can I answer this? Because I think everybody has the same concern. We have a piece of property, everybody wants to, draw fences. But that's why we still have a board. So that if when we have those type of issues that could occur, that Dale needs to come and check with us, and we check with the people before some of those things actually occur. That's why you got to have some kind of check and balance. But we can't stop progress altogether because of one person doesn't like such.
I'm not asking you to stop progress. You guys make the decision. I'm not having a problem with that. My problem lies as a property owner, I don't want to end up with a motocross track below my house, and I don't want to end up with a contaminated well. Those are the two things that I'm concerned about.
Right.
Okay. Of course, I don't think you're putting motor
right.
stack. I mean,
but Brent, I think there's great protections for you in being next to association land that a lot of us don't enjoy because we're next to who knows what Yahoo's going to buy it tomorrow. And so you still have a voice to the board. A board still owns this, runs the company who owns this property, and even under this has a 60-day
yeah.
termination ability. You know, I don't think I appreciate what you said. However, we're still wasting time talking about motorcycle tracks and Walmarts because we know that both of those are far extremes. And so we've got to get down to some decisions. Let me ask a couple questions because they're not in here. Dale, you put in here, reservation for the cabin, fish ponds, corral, airstrip. Roads, is that in that? I understand. I don't know. Roads are not, I mean, you're not thinking under your plans and your budget to do a lot of road maintenance.
A lot of those things, I thought, all had to kind of come under one umbrella for coordination and,
right.
and budgeting and these things. I see you going ahead and reconditioning cabin 7 and cabin 8, and I'm delighted not to have anything to do with them or renting them if they stand there vacant all summer. That's okay with me. Those things are off limits as far as I'm concerned, and the board has full responsibility, and probably roads would be another thing that would be
the exception
on
here. Been listed
this
on
was just kind of a thumbnail you asked for.
Right.
An idea.
Any other board members have questions regarding this?
Not as it's currently written.
I mean,
okay. Other than just an outline of what you plan on doing.
Yeah. Summary.
Plan on running.
I don't know if they have an exact plan on
doing.
Go. You have to do one thing.
I want
to
know.
What's
the plan?
You say.
I don't. Oh. Okay. Under our direction then.
Let me use this as an example, however. I was asked to lay out the arrangement for the reseeding and the brush. It was going great. A lot owner decided, hey, I don't want them over by my place because I'm here this weekend and I don't like the dust. I think that's improper. And so somebody's got to call the signals and do these things.
We've got to bring, whether it's water rights or flood control management, everything back under... We won't go on anybody's individual lot and do stuff without getting their written permission. And individual landowners can't come on the association ground and do stuff without written permission. You know, and there's been question in previous whether it's leaf spring development or some things, whether there was, you know, board approval or we've got to correct and clarify that system.
I feel very sensitive to discussing possibilities here in the meeting. If you guys want to go into an executive session to talk about how to do, which to do, and what, I'd be delighted. But to when you're brainstorming, you come up with some ideas that maybe have no validity at all, and somebody grabs a hold of them and puts them on the headlines of the next newsletter that says that idiot thought she'll ask this question.
And everybody's up in arms.
Yeah.
We need to have
that makes sense.
Okay, let me ask, do we have to be out of this room in 30 minutes?
A year.
Do we have to be out of this room in 30 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say on
a couple of
questions
thoughts.
That you guys want to do or not want to do.
That, we've got to either focus on that or the 2009 budget. What you're saying here in a rough proposal doesn't affect the 2009 budget a whole lot. We as the board's got to move forward. So either we need to focus on that, or I think we've got to have a motion from a board member to go into an executive session and a contract negotiating to at least talk about a few things. And I'll say generally, here's my opinion on this, because we came out for 90 days. If we're going to do this, and I'm not saying that we have to or that we should, but if we're going to do this, I think that with a couple of things, we need to vote to accept this lease in its form and move forward with the caveat that the master plan and a written detailed contract is signed within 90 days or it's all invalid. So that Dale has enough
time
to go forward with it and start planning But also, I think, Dustin, to answer your question, you know, this system that he's outlined, it's something so that in each year, before July 21st, he's going to make a presentation, kind of a wrap-up of the last year, and the next 12 months I plan to do this.
This is that.
And by August 31st, we have 1 month then to say,
no, we don't like it.
The last year looked good, but we had a few concerns or feedback from members of concern here. In the next 12 months, you plan on doing these 10 things. We like 9 of them. 1 of them we have some concern or whatever, so that it's not going to work if the board can't go.
But and the nice thing is the board has teeth in that if we have a problem and you say, I want to do this, and the board says, no, we don't want to do this.
Right.
There's we can say into 60 days, boom.
Right. There's an exact check.
That's one thing I do like is the board has teeth in that we can – you're forced to come to us to say, you know, we want to do this and we have to work. You don't have a situation where you're going off and doing your thing, we're doing off and doing their thing, and then, you know, we argue in the middle. That's good. I like that.
If you want some things done, however, that forces you to come to me.
Exactly.
And have some conversation.
Well, it's got to be coordinated or we're wasting each other's time.
No, but I like the, you know, point number one, as long as that's in there, that gives the board the teeth.
That's your
second
bounce.
To say, if that's not going to happen, then we can
resolve
that.
What are the two bounce makers that we're talking about?
good question. Yes. Let me add, I'm glad you asked.
That is a good question.
2,000 acres. That's what we've talked about all these years.
Well, what
do you find, Dave, if there's only 1,980 acres? Would you kind of want the developer to come across with the other 20 acres?
No, I would just
modify
it.
No, we've always talked about 2,000 acres. Always.
That's been a general number.
On the other hand, if you find there's 2,020 acres, will you give that back to the developer as part of the compensation? I was going to say some of the things that I've done or am doing can be compensated for without costing the association a penny. And whether it's the acreage adjustment one way or the other, let me throw out one other thing. Initially, Utah Properties had a first right of refusal on any sales.
Yeah, now Deer Spring owners.
That was transferred over to Deer Springs DSROA. It has never been exercised by either group. Would the board consider assigning that back to Clarkson Properties?
Doesn't affect you really.
No compensation. No nothing. I have a logic.
It's not like the board, not like the association has a lot of money to be
buying
up.
That's one thing that I would like for you to consider as a possible trade-off.
No, if somebody wants to sell their property, that they get the first right.
There's some other things like that doesn't cost the board or DSROA a penny, but it would affect some of the things I do up there during the next 10 years. So... But I would want to meet with, again, just the board privately and say, what if, how could we, what way, or just with you, John, and go through some of these what ifs that I know have existed for 30 years. And once you consider them, then you may find that some of these improvements that we want up there are to the benefit of the members, and it hasn't cost them anything.
Hey, Del?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Clint Gray in Denver. And I just was seeking a clarification. What was your intent on the reimbursement clause as you wrote it? Was that a year per year or 9 years into the agreement if the board canceled the contract? Would the reimbursement be for the past 9 years? Could you clarify that for me?
I really haven't thought about that a lot, Clint, but let me use it as an example. The Johnsons have spent a lot of money up there on the brush and reseeding stuff. If their contract is canceled next week, they have a particular exposure. If it's canceled in 2 years, which is the way it was set up, they have no claim, and we have no claim on them. So I think
right.
It has to be balanced out on a fair, decent business judgment basis that if the management company hasn't recovered a good share of their front-end expenses within 9 years, we should probably forget them to begin with.
Well, that's
okay.
I think what Dale's saying, and part of the checks and balances is it's restrictive on Dale that he's going to put in whatever money he feels he can get a return in 10 years. He's not going to invest a 30-year investment and only have 10 years to get it back. But if we cut it short in 5 years, there's got to be somewhat of a half proration back, and that can be documented in the annual report year to year, how much money was put in. Like Dale says, whether we put it in or Dale puts it in or Johnson's put it in, the ranch 20 years from now needs to know what was done back in 2008, 2009, and about what did it cost for improvement.
Right.
For an example, speaking with, I spoke with not Terrell Johnson, but Austin Johnson, and I guess in their thinking, they'd like to get a longer-term
sure they would.
Lease. And if they were out here, obviously they have equipment that they would want to store and be able to work on. And so they had mentioned to me that if they had a longer lease, they would actually build a building onto the property so that it would house their equipment, their repair facilities, whatever. Because if they have to repair a John Deere, you know, they got to haul it all the way back and they got to bring it back. It's not very cost effective for them. And so forth. Maybe they were, you know, maybe something like some sort of a Quonset or something. You know, obviously, the board would, you know,
help locate it
and approve it. This is just an example because I know that they would like to make this a longer term agreement, and if it benefits the ranch, like in my mind, I was trying to figure out, well, how are they going to invest all this? And now I could see it in a bigger picture. How this may be accomplished. So that's just.
And again, that's a typical thing under a, you know, if you want to go to Kinnep City down here at the airport, you can build an airplane hangar under a lease agreement on their property. At the end of the lease agreement, they own it.
Yeah.
Then you can renegotiate either a fair lease for you to pay to continue to use it, or if you abandon it, then they will continue to use it for their use. So.
Well, we want to put something like that in the.
Well, that's already what's in here. Actually,
it's in here. We've got it. It's got to be fleshed out in a signable contract. But I don't think we can do that until we have about 90 days of we're going down, but have a drop dead deadline. If we don't have something signed, that binds the board and it binds Dale to let's really talk about it. We've been talking about it for 90 days, and we're no closer than we were. We've hammered out and got a little bit.
I think really, if we had seen this. At the beginning,
I think
some people would might have.
Have you
had
seen it yet?
This is all I've seen.
Yeah. Have you seen the attachments?
No. Exhibit B is
well, both of those are just legal descriptions.
Yeah.
Of the land and the water.
I'd like to see those attachments.
Yeah. What do we need to do?
I don't know what.
Yeah.
What 2,000 acres we're talking about?
Not all of that.
Not all of the. In those 2,000 acres are the cabins, are the headquarters area. So that we're excluding that, right?
Right.
Airstrips over.
Not really talking 2,000 acres. We're talking less than.
But right. We've just talked.
Right.
What the association owns minus. The improved things that the association used the last 10 years, the rangeland or the open areas that haven't been done anything until 90 days ago when we started reseeding are the areas that Dale would lease the thing over. But I think it'll take 90 days to even write that legal, like he said, document how many members.
Legal description here, I give you a copy. It's been in place for 40 years. And I'm concerned that the members have 2,000 acres and most of them don't know where it is.
Most of them don't.
Well, it's on the map, right. But most of us don't have the map. Current map, let's put it like that.
Same identical.
So the cabin, the corral, the airstrip, all the stuff he's already identified is there.
Okay.
Those are the things that would not even be included.
The consideration, for instance, the fish ponds or the upper water that's going to be developed, the clay pond below the pinks. Suppose... Then, according to this agreement, you decided that would be enclosed, fenced, and admission charged to use any portion of that water access or two or whatever, this would be a blank check for you to do that.
Now without the board approving it, because then we can just turn around
sure
and say,
let's say that Dale does something that's stupid.
Dry.
Let's say he does something that's stupid. Then we write him a letter and we cancel his lease.
And we own
it. I mean, that's where
number one is the T,
you
right?
You put up the tab for the investment loss. It says it right down here. The thing of it is, I know that that's a poor example. It was just an
extreme. I know it's an extreme, but that's why.
It's like, well, I can't give the examples because.
I think what I want to put in there as a protection for us then is before a significant expenditure, say over a certain amount of money, is made for that, because then obviously at that point, then we're on the hook for it. If we cancel it off, we know about it.
Yeah, but
would that make sense? That way there's that control, right?
Identified, presented to the board with potential income and agreed upon, and then we would be held to that portion of the contract. But generically, it's just...
Then we would know. We'd be educated as to how much his money is put in there, and we'll know how much we're on the hook if we say no. Would that make sense?
And
it's just reporting, really.
Yeah, but the board has...
Is the ranch house and the ranch property part of this 2,000 acres? That's association property.
At the present time?
Yes.
You bet it is.
Okay.
You bet it is.
But that part that you've said in here is being excluded.
Being excluded, Well, and then there's other offsets that Dale can have, like you said.
No, it's excluded.
That's the part of the cabin on
forever. Anybody that's being now used is already excluded.
The ranch house.
Yeah,
the cabins are identified on here.
And all you have to do is just delete that amount of acreage and state what it was, and then be no problem.
Exactly. Yeah. So, roads, ranch roads and headquarters should be added to this.
That's why I did this, so you could add to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I
tracked off. Before you come with the final.
That's no contract.
The final.
Yeah, it's just a suggestion.
Conversation piece.
Yeah, no, this is getting the ball
good.
Going.
And I would also suggest we put in there in those bullet points is that reporting part of it to say before a significant expenditure
and that
is
be
done that we know that we're going to be
that's a clause.
We should put that in there.
The
we should write that down as an idea.
And a number of
we're talking about ideas.
Yeah, a number of members have contacted me.
We are running out of minutes, people.
Dale, I mean, you own a large portion of lots, and you have a large voting block. And a number of members asked me if you would not vote those during, because it would create a conflict of interest. Here the board has responsibility of maintaining your contract with you. Now if you fill the board with people that you vote in, in the past we've seen that. How would you address that? How would you address the perception that there's some conflict because you own so many votes.
If there's somebody that I would say is stupid enough, after 40 years, to see what we donated, what we gave, what we set aside, and still challenge our honesty,
It's not your honesty.
I don't need it.
It's not your
I don't
honesty.
Need it.
It's
it has
not
nothing to do with honesty. I mean, it does. If we're going to do something tomorrow that is
detrimental
to our membership as well as your membership, our memberships are the same. And if you don't want me to vote, you don't want me to pay dues.
And we need the dues.
Okay. I needed to bring it up because
people have asked you.
There's three or four that will continue on that.
Okay. All right. Well,
train.
It was brought up, and
I think there's only,
I don't think even under our bylaws there's a way for people that not have the right to vote, not to pay their dues.
Aside that they were normal memberships.
Right. And so there's no ability for anybody to damage my lot without damaging their own or improving their lot without improving mine.
I agree.
He's just acting as a board member.
And if you consider,
any
improvements into the ranch, it's going to improve his because he's got more lots.
Exactly.
So he's got the most to gain and the most to lose.
That's the reason I suggested the special assessment.
Yeah.
He'd pay the most.
The problem is, I think you're right, but the problem is, if we have a special assessment in 6 months, 18 months, we have another special assessment, and a special because we
yeah,
didn't
I would have
a
everybody involved. I just don't like the idea of anybody paying my way, and I want to pay my fair share.
We'll make sure you do.
Okay,
you got to help.
I think
we
so.
Can do it beforehand, obviously.
I think the only concerns that I've heard is really people just want the exact details, like the attachment and you know and those types of things. And maybe we can add some little things like we talked about. And I don't think that's an issue.
Each one of you board members need to take this paper and put down, use your pen, and write down what you want on it.
We will have to have time to do that.
Can I add one important consideration?
Yes.
This board has just gotten out from under, I believe we've gotten out from under a very painful 7-year contract that was initiated by Larry Clarkson without board approval. We now have one on the board present that we're considering approving, and we haven't given it sufficient review.
I think we do. We need to consider it.
You may feel that you have review. I still don't see attachment A and attachment or exhibit A.
I hear what you're saying. That's why we all have to stand on our own 2 feet. That's why there's 7 board members. You have a motion. We're not going to move forward. That's why we don't. If we wait till we're all 100% comfortable to move forward and have unanimous agreement, we'll never get anywhere.
That's exactly right. And I'll go ahead and make the motion, but. Also noting that, you know, said attachments would be made, you know, available.
What attachments are you talking about?
David Sales wants Exhibit A and B.
Exhibit A and B should be.
It
says attached.
Those are water maps.
They're not attached.
It's the list of water rights that he held up, and it's the ranch. We all have the ranch map, the Vance Green map with the crosshatch around it.
Tell Vance we need some more of those, please. They're coming.
Oh, good.
Anyway, I've been trying to sell them all.
Oh, well, we're waiting for the county to pass judgment on the road names. I don't want to issue a bunch of invalid stuff.
That's a visual, but Exhibit A will need to be a written legal description that it describes. And there's still some discussion going to be to cut out the upper covens. We cut out 5 acres or 12 acres?
It won't be 3,000.
No problem. It'll
be less than that.
Much less.
I wouldn't have a problem with the specifics.
And then we can make out.
Be careful.
We're just accepting
it. Be careful.
Okay.
Okay, I would like to make the motion that we proceed with the land and water lease agreement with Clarkson Properties, Inc., or its assigns, and the District Branch Owners Association as presently outlined with additions of excluding ranch headquarters and roads, and also an additional bullet on the bottom, number 7, significant expenditures to be approved by the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Board so that we would have a, know what we're indebted, potentially indebted to.
Well, it could be part of that one. It's already there.
And also that we have the attached Exhibit A and attached Exhibit B to the board, and that within 90 days, agreement to the board that can be signed and approved. Within the 90 days.
Okay. I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Excuse me. This is John. On my end, it's been clipping so much here on this that I only caught a little bit of that. So I'm not 100% sure what the motion is. I don't know if we're standing too far away from the mic there or...
Dustin, could you read this one more time?
I want to read all the bullet points or the whole thing?
Read the whole thing.
Okay, I'll reread the whole thing. Land and water lease agreement, lease between Clarkson Properties or its assigns and Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association for 2,000 acres of property titled to Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. See attached Exhibit A. With the exception of acreage now in use, for cabbage, fish ponds, corrals, airstrip, and we would also add roads and the headquarters area.
lease to also include water rights, see attached Exhibit B, to have and hold said property and water rights to manage, improve, sublease. Duration of lease is 10 years, beginning January 1st, 2009 through December 31st, 2019. Point one, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Board of Directors or Clarkson Properties, Inc. may cancel this lease by giving a 60-day notice. Two, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association to pay property taxes annually. Three, improvements to be paid for by Clarkson Properties, Inc. with the guarantee that they, Clarkson Properties, Inc., would be made whole in the event Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association elects to cancel this lease early. Four, Clarkson Properties, Inc. shall give Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association a report on or before July 31st of each year. Five, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association shall give Clarkson Properties, Inc. an acceptance and evaluation report on or before August 31st of each year. Six, Clarkson Properties, Inc. is to be named as an additional insured on the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association insurance policies. Seven would be
significant expenditures to be approved by the DSRA board.
Pre-approved.
Yep. Pre-approved by DSRA board. Okay. Any other further discussion?
Yes.
I think Vance has something to say.
Right now, I believe that the association has a special, very low tax rate on common area. What's going to happen to that if we develop it or somebody else develop it? So we are still responsible for the taxes.
Okay, right.
It'll come out of my
Right now we're in discussion among the board members on a motion and a second. Other discussion has got to wait.
Okay.
If the world falls in and the sky falls.
That's a good point. We'll have
that's a good point. That's got to be worked out in the agreement as to how that may, you know, be affected.
That's
a valid point. I have it here.
Yeah, make so we have a motion in a second?
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 One opposed.
Davis Hills opposes. Everyone else votes in favor of it. Motion carries.
Did John...
Yes. John said aye.
John said aye.
Okay,
that brings us to 7 minutes to getting out of this room and approval of that.
And you got 10 cupcakes. So you better take
them. Yeah, cupcakes. John Southwood, will you give me the 60-second review of this budget? How much changes have you made to this since 08?
Two.
Okay.
Two?
They're in red.
Okay.
What we have discussed on the income is $140,500. On revenue expenses, $136,420. That also does include the BLMT. What I didn't put in there was the auto insurance because I wasn't aware of it till last night, and that's going to be about a $1,400 expense. So we'll bring it to $137,820, which pretty much shoots $140,500. And I would propose that the additional whatever money is not accounted for be put into a contingency fund. Unless you want to squirrel away in some other categories.
Well, we have a couple of accounts.
I would propose
we
that
have a maintenance which we have not addressed.
I would propose that in this budget and every further going budget that we put in an amount that is a continuing amount.
Yes.
An emergency fund that stays in every year and builds. We need to have that. I mean I think it should be $10,000.
We can't take it out of that.
John, I think that's good, but a word of caution. In last Wednesday's paper, there are 40 Deer Springs lot owners that have not paid their real estate taxes. If, according to the Nation, one-third of our members do not pay their annual assessments,
and it's going to go down.
Yeah. The board better be
right.
Aware
you're
of reality.
Right. They're very hopeful on that already.
Yeah.
But you're right.
I was going to
ask Linda. Because Linda Winona, and maybe Shauna knows,
outside of our regular account, operating account, what do we have?
Right here.
Thank you.
I brought it.
Thank you. We have some
money. Not very much.
Not much.
No.
About $2,500.
It's something, okay?
Yes.
Well,
in a capital improvement outside of our operating budget.
Outside of our operating
there's
budget.
There's two. There are two. There's three accounts. Two of them have.
We need to make sure that we should only have one additional account.
Right here.
To be in a
well, one is
in
fund. Right here.
We should have something.
In this account, we have $1,233.43.
Uh-huh.
And this account, we have
$1,163.71.
Okay, almost $2,500.
And that's going back in the budget. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost $2,500.
This is the savings. This is the one you could secure
we still have a loan that we can accept in dire situations. Which
it better be dire.
Okay.
How much are we allowed to roll over each year?
How much are we allowed to roll
because of a nonprofit?
Interest bearing.
I can't answer that. I'm sorry. I'd have to look. But I'd go for a different.
$10,000 you're talking about would have to be spent by the end of the year.
No.
That's insignificant.
No,
if
you've been a membership of any homeowners association, I've been pounding this for 2 years.
We don't have time. We don't have
time
to deal with it.
Half.
We don't have time to deal with it.
We don't have time to deal with it, but that's something we need to do.
Well,
so what I would like to do with what's the balance between our current operating, what we propose for an operating budget of $145,000, the difference between that and what I have down here is $137,820. Put that into cabin maintenance because we are doing some cabin maintenance. And like I said, I have a lot of other money to
pull
out. There's not really a lot of discussion outside this. Is that okay as a board? Would you approve that action?
Maintenance?
The balance of what's left over. He's saying everything between this $140,000.
I have some concerns with the way things are appropriated on here that we don't have time to discuss.
I know, I need to.
We
because it won't match up with what we're spending now. And so.
Well, what we're spending now was this year was just out of control.
I know that.
Hold on. She's not talking dollars and cents. She's saying the way that this budget played out does not meet the same categories as in QuickBooks. We've got to start working off one system, not three different sets of books. When she pays a bill, she wants to know what's going into auto and expense, and when we budget it here, but she spends it, and we're going to get confused in the translation. I think we need to work through that.
Example, too. Payroll services, you have $300. It'll cost us $480 right now, the way things are spent.
Can restructure that. Let's restructure that.
Okay.
Committee, we still have a budget committee, which we can still.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that some of these won't work.
This, but
yeah.
We need to have, and if approved, I have already emailed the copy to Vance to go ahead and post it on the website.
I make a motion that we approve the DSRA preliminary budget as the DSRA 2009 preliminary budget.
Preliminary.
Approve it to be posted to the website, have some input on it, and we move forward. I think we're still going to have a month or so of snow on the ground that we can finalize and make sure that we get this correct, that it won't hurt things.
Of one example, the $1,500 or $2,000, I still need to purchase three refrigerators. I don't know how much that costs, but that would cap that by
grand.
That's $3,000.
Well,
yeah.
We have to work that out. But yeah,
we tried to get together with all the holiday stuff. I mean, we still never got budget together and really hammered this out. We're making progress, but we're not making all that we need to. So I think we can't. So that was my motion.
Okay, and I'll second that motion.
Do we have a motion?
So
motion is seconded to
we'll have replaced almost all
approve this as a preliminary budget, which means it is not set in stone. We will still massage it. But until it's changed, stick to this budget as much as we can again, except for the approval we've already made on Cabin 7. Keep going on that, and we'll try to get this put together. All in favor?
Agree.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That was an
eye in favor.
Okay. Any other new business? Or do we have a motion to adjourn?